Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Fuel your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick Me Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on break room products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.
But I don't know. I've never been down there, so what do I know?
Yeah. There's a it's another conversation for another day. Let's go inside the good, the bad, the ugly. All right. And I like what Samuel said here. He said, if we think about society in general, too, conspiracy theories often paint people that accept what they're told as sheep. I argue that believing everything is a conspiracy is low hanging fruit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there have been a great many movies and books about, you know, conspiracy theories and how you get caught in this weird web and start, you know, start believing everything and like, oh, this is, you know, there's even an episode of The Simpsons where, all the adults start drinking a nerve tonic or whatever, or some sort of tonic that makes them want to have sex. And so the kids are all wondering why the adults are like going home at 5 in the after, you know, closing the doors and everything. And so they think they're daytime vampires and they're controlled by the moon people. It's conspiracies thrive when there's not enough information. And now I guess they thrive when there's too much information, but anyway, good, bad, and ugly.
All right. So what is your good and bad and ugly this week?
Let's see. My good, we touched on this a little bit earlier, is offense in the AL Central, and specifically Kansas City and Cleveland, which I did not see coming this year. They currently rank 6th and 7th in baseball and runs scored. And the Royals are actually tied for 3rd in F4. The Guardians are 9th, but you know, both two top 10 teams that I didn't really expect much of anything out of. Bobby Witt is off to a tremendous start. He's the only guy ahead of Riley Green in defensive run save. He's got 5 already. And he hit his 4th home run of the year today while hitting .360. So, I mean, he's looking like that potential MVP that he could be. MJ Melendez is off to a good start. Mikel Garcia is off to a good start. Vinny Pasquantino is off to a good start. So, yeah, things are going right in Kansas City right now. And a little bit more on that later. The Cleveland, not quite as impressive in terms of the individual players, but they're like top 4 are all performing well. Stephen Kwan, Naylor, Jose Ramirez, Andrés Giménez, all playing well. Kwan already has 2 home runs this year. Which is kind of wild because he had like 5 last year and I think 6 the year before. He's not a big home run guy, so it could be one of those things where, well, he's on pace for 20 home runs and he finishes with 4. But certainly off to a good start in Cleveland, and yeah, not great for the Tigers, but you got to point it out when you can. My bad, and I, you know, I don't really want to do this, but it's Javi Baez, currently the 2nd worst qualified hitter in terms of WRC plus in baseball at -12. One of just 3 qualified hitters out of 194 who has yet to take a walk. He's also 1 of 5 qualified hitters, again, out of 194 with an ISO of 0, meaning he doesn't have an extra base hit yet. The other players on that list of no extra base hits are Alejandro Kirk, Will Brennan, Willie Castro, and Nick Castellanos. It's been a rough one for Javi Baez. I don't really have to tell Tigers fans that, but sometimes when the stats are there, you got to talk about them. On the plus side, he does have 3 steals already. When he's getting on base, it's like he's like a guaranteed runner now. And he's playing quality defense, but yeah, it's bad at the plate. And again, like I said, I don't have to tell Tigers fans that. And my ugly, and this is kind of going back to the Royals, is, and I hate to do this to a local kid, but it's Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown from St. Clair Shores, went to Wayne State, drafted by the Houston Astros in the 5th round in 2019. They turn him into a top 100 prospect. You know, obviously he did some of that himself and came up late in 2022 and looked good. And he looked really good to start last year. But then the wheels have just completely fallen off. Just historically bad outing today. Two-thirds of an inning, 11 hits and 9 runs and 1 walk. I think I saw he's the first player ever to give up 11 hits without completing an inning, something like that, at least the first starter. And beyond that, since July 1st of last year, he has the highest ERA among all pitchers with 70-plus innings at 6.9. And that was before today. If you add today, it's 7.86. So I don't know what they're going to do with Hunter Brown. I don't know if he's injured, if they're going to send him to the minors, if he's going to move to the bullpen, but it's been real ugly for him. And like I said, it's kind of a bummer for a local kid, but I know the Astros are off to a rough start.
Todd asked a good question. Honestly, how long will the Baez experience continue? And then Deadly Ninja Bees, remember the Mendoza line? What would be the Baez line? I mean, it's, yeah, here's the thing, too. You have Ryan Kreider, who's on the IL. Still have no word on what's happening with Eddie Leonard. The Tigers are pretty much stuck with him because they don't really have an option to go with. I mean, unless you get creative and want to move things around, but you really, I mean, Kreider now has, especially going to have, I think it's his thumb, right? Was it his thumb in this case?
His finger. I don't know which finger it was. I want to say the injury report it was with Leonard was an oblique. Does that sound right?
Yeah,
I mean, I mean, we talked about it before, man. He's owed four more years at $26 million a year, $24 million a year, $24 million a year, right? Like, I think the Tigers would happily part ways with him, but it's so much money, and for whatever reason, teams just don't eat that much money. They just don't. They don't. I can't recall a team doing that for more than 2 years for any player. Maybe they could try to work out some ridiculous trade, but I don't think anybody else would take Javi Baez. It's their only hope is to get his bat going somehow to where it's acceptable. And we're going on 2+ years of it not being that level, but I don't really know if there's a solution other than that.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing too, is if the Tigers were to say, doing a trade, what are you going to trade for? I mean, you really would have to give up to get something. Like, if you're looking at a 2-war player, you would have to get something up of value in the Tigers' pitching depth right now. Even with Sir Gibson Long, which there's some bad news about forearm issues. Even with that, so I mean, the Tigers still have enough where the pitching depth, I don't think, is going to be too much of a concern, but they have to get creative with this. At some point, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision because the fact you have no strike, like you're talking about the quote unquote new swing and everything. Great. You think you generate a walker? Well, I can't even do that. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, I think fans will never do this because he's making so much money, but you just have to treat Javi Baez like he was Adam Everett when the Tigers had him, right? Where you're hoping for a couple doubles that bounce down the line and above average defense, and just pretend like he's a guy making, $1 million a year or something, because he's going to be around. He may bat eighth, he may bat ninth every day, but he's going to play regularly because teams just won't get rid of a guy like that. They won't eat all that salary. I don't know what, I mean, I guess I understand you don't want to just waste all that money, but you're feeling like you're wasting it anyway. But I think the main thing is they don't want to be paying him $90+ million or $80 million or whatever it is to have him go somewhere else and get figured out and be productive. That would make them feel bad. As silly as that sounds. So I don't know.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, that Samuel makes up a good point too, that they upset a lot of fans. I think the Tigers did not spend in the offseason. But when I went to the end of the year presser and Harris basically said, we're not, I'm paraphrasing, pretty much was saying, don't expect us to spend a lot. Or he said it in a way it was just like, okay, well, they're not going to spend a lot. Then I knew that the Tigers were just going to be like, well, Tiger fans are going to go and sit there and go, oh, great. We have all this money coming off the books. Doesn't mean anything. And even he had a piece of audio. He was on with Russo
this week.
Chris Russo. And I have to find the audio. If I find it, I think I posted it in our chat, but I'm not going to struggle through this because I don't want to get heckled on again by some jackass.
But yeah, he basically said, like, he was asked if, like, they're, you know, if he thinks they can win the Central, right? And he was like, hey, it was something like, hey, we're not really trying.
Yeah.
Like, it was along those lines. It wasn't, he didn't say it like that, but it was like, you know, we're trying to win every game. We're trying to put it like,
well, right now we're worried about Pittsburgh right now. That's exactly what he was saying. Well,
it's like he wants to keep expectations as low as possible and then perhaps outperform expectations. But there's only so long you can do that, right? Where you can manage the expectations of fans before they revolt and turn on you. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's too early to get like super upset with him for that. I do think that he just wants to be. We talked about it with Crystal the other day, like the White Sox looked like they had promise and then it just completely crashed and burned. And I don't know if he wants to, Scott Harris is trying to be super cautious about that and avoid that sort of fall back to earth by going for it too soon. But it is frustrating to hear stuff like this.
All right. Let me know if everybody can hear it. Well, I'm about to play the chat.
Yeah, I don't know if expectations internally are all that different this year. We have to stay focused on the step right in front of us. You know, candidly, this organization has been through some rough patches in recent years, and we haven't really earned the right to talk about playoff bursts yet. We've earned the right to try to beat the Pirates today, and so that's what we focus on internally. You know, I think the middle of our lineup is populated by young hitters, and with youth comes variance and unpredictability. But I think we got to keep giving these guys opportunities. We got to keep helping them make adjustments to find their way and be consistent every night. And we got to keep leaning on the veterans we brought in this offseason, guys like Mark Canna and Gio Urshela, who are both off to really big starts at the plate, but also really helping mentor some of our young hitters in the clubhouse. So, you know, I think if we stay focused on the here and now, we stay focused on putting together long stretches of competitive baseball, the rest of those expectations are going to take care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I don't think you're trying to say, or correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you're trying to say that they're not trying, right? Is that because that's not what?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I was saying that like he's trying to set a very low bar for expectations, basically saying, you know, we don't suddenly think that we're off to a good start. We don't suddenly think we're going to win 100 games this year. And basically along those lines, fans shouldn't think that either, which is fine. That's a totally normal thing to say, but then there's like, you know, like, oh, we got to, you know, leaning on these veterans we went out and got. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, Mark Canna's a solid player. Urshela's okay. You know, it's the team comes down to the young guys. He knows that. I think everybody knows that. And it's just taken these guys a little while. I believe that Riley Green will turn it around. Not even turn around. He's going to get going really well soon. And I think Colt Keith will too. And then Meadows, who knows what you're going to get there. It's been a rough start for him. He's walking at least, but he has one of the lowest expected batting averages in baseball. He's not making hard contact whatsoever, which is unfortunate. And then Torkelson, I don't want to get yelled at myself. I remember the negative review we got where all I did was complain about Torkelson was the review. But by the way, feel free to leave a review. We're fine with them. We enjoyed the feedback. But yeah, I mean, Torque just looks bad right now. It's just pop-ups, not working long at bats, just bad. And the team's going to look rough and kind of feel like they don't have much ceiling if those key bats in the middle of the order aren't doing anything.
And look, I think it's fair to be objective about this team. And I think we've been more than objective. I think that if we're quote unquote negative about the team, I try really hard not to be a cynical asshole the whole time about this team. When they're doing good, they're doing good. When they're doing bad, we're going to call them out the way it is. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You know, it is frustrating for fans. Like, I can understand fans to a certain extent why they would get mad at, for example, when I do my fan voice, I'm not mocking fans for at all for getting angry. You should be mad that your shortstop is skills are diminishing in front of your eyes, and there's nothing that can be bad about it. I'm not, again, 7-4, Stan, I'm not complaining about staying 7-4. They're playing the Twins this weekend. It is a good remedy for them, Be that as it may, look, the Tigers are over 500, and sometimes you look on social media, it's, you know, like, it's, it is very, I say this, it's so hard to be, it's very easy to be negative, and we try to find that, you know, like, we try to find the positive in everything we do and all that, but if the process is not working and there's no results, what are we supposed to do then? That's my point, is like there's a lack the right now as it stands. I have nothing against what Scott Harris is doing right now, but at the same time, there just admit that what you're doing, like you're just trying to build, like if you're trying to do like what the Guardians are doing, where you're just doing it by development and spending occasionally or barely at all, that's fine. But there's no identity, like there, that's the way, if that's the way they're building it, so be it. I don't have a problem with it. And I think they're still, the Tigers are still trying to find their identity right now. So,
yeah, it's just a, I don't know, it's a strange position to be in because, yeah, they've won 7 games out of 11. That's great. Everybody's super excited about that. But the fans watch the games and they go, okay, well, this offense still isn't doing anything. The Tigers are scoring fewer runs per game than Miami. And Miami is what?
Yeah.
1-11, something like that. 2-11. I haven't checked the what's the standings. Where are we? 2-11, and they've scored more runs than the Tigers. So this could easily go the other way. You have to give credit to the pitching, obviously, and the defense, as we talked about. I think people, and it's something I think Cameron brought up. I think, or maybe it was you. You know, if the Tigers were winning these games 12-10 in 7-4, I think fans would be much happier. I think there's just something deflating about watching a team that can't seem to hit. Particularly because it's been a bad offense for the last 6-7 years, right? Like that's been the main issue with the Tigers. They had plenty of bad pitching along the way too, but it's just been a forever since they've had good hitters.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think the team, if people weren't seeing torque pop out or ground outs, I think it'd be a little different scenario. That's all it is to it. And that if the Tigers are going to be known for their defense and pitching, great. And hopefully they'll win some games. But then there'll be stretches where it's going to be brutal to watch. And that's just as simple as that. So, go ahead, Chris.
Well, all it takes is one or two bad starts to really kind of screw up your pitching for a full week, right? If you have to dip into your bullpen early in games 2 days in a row, that can hurt you. That can cause you to get, you know, the next start you try to ride your starter a little longer, and it can cause things to fall apart pretty quickly. So you just wish there was a little bit more consistency with the offense.
Yeah.
Consistent hitting. They have been consistent so far in that they haven't been scoring.
So my good, the good and bad and the ugly, this was going to be kind of multifaceted. So this week, by the way, I want to give a good farewell to Steven Strasburg, who had to retire because of arm injury. So just wanted to give him a tip of the cap. And I mean, he went out during the World Series as one of his last starts, right? It was like just.
I think that, yeah, I don't know if he came. Did he ever start again? I thought he tried a couple outings.
Yeah, I don't know if he did that, but, I just wanted to give him, you know, tip of the cap to him for what he did in a short period of time. Like, you ever wonder if he was stay healthy or not, but I just wanted to give him, yeah. And the Nationals are paying his entire contract, too. So, speaking of real quick sidebar, Jordan Montgomery's leaving Scott Boras.
Yeah, I saw that.
Scott Boras. All right.
Strasburg made eight more starts after that World Series over the next 3 seasons, but, yeah, he was awesome that 2019 season, awesome in the playoffs, and then the injuries, which is a bummer. One of the most hyped prospects of all time, and you know, he didn't quite live up to it the way like LeBron James did in basketball, but he certainly had an awesome career, and at times was one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball.
So my good this week involves the Erie Seawolves until yesterday. 35 innings, 1 run over. I mean, they've had 2 shutouts in four games. Their pitching's been really good. They have been getting some really good bullpen. Joel Pellegrino, who I saw pitch yesterday, who has been kind of a minor league, he was a minor league free agent pickup, but he's bounced around a couple organizations. 97-98, pretty good fastball. He had some good late movement to it. But just want to give props to that, because that's saying something. You have one of the probably the better rotations in the organization. You had Ty Madden throw out four scoreless, hitless innings in his first start of the year, and they went out on the home opener and shut him out. And a pretty good Big Anthony team as well. Also, part of the good is the Royals at 2.3 WAR for the pitching staff. The Kansas City Royals, Chris. You want to take a guess on what their FIP is?
If they've already got 2.3, I don't know. It's probably under 3.
Just over 2. 3.
Just 3. Over 3.
04. Just 3.04. Wow. But they have a K per 9 of 7.92. So it's not. It's, I don't know if it's going to be sustainable, but it's a good headline for the early part of the season. My bet this week is David Benar, who we saw the Tigers, he meltdown against the Tigers on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he's been pretty much automatic against the Tigers, but this year he's off to a rough start. ERA 12.46, and just could not find a strike zone against the Tigers. This guy was, I remember last year against Detroit, the Tigers couldn't do anything against him, and allowed that rally to come back. But hopefully, for a Pirates bullpen too, that definitely needs, you have Chapman back there for a reason, but this is a guy, a hometown guy, grew up in nearby Eastern Pennsylvania. Hopefully he'll figure it out. And when he's right, he's good.
Yeah, I think he's a multi-time All-Star, right? I mean, you know, sometimes with the Pirates haven't been that great that you just picked a reliever. But yeah, I think he had an injury in spring training and just hasn't come back right. It's not that he's getting hit that hard. He was just completely wild against the Tigers. He walked several guys, hit somebody. He's been rough so far. That's for sure. I know. Have him on my fantasy team. I also have Chapman though, so I'm okay.
By the way, the part also to keep this theme going with the NL Central, the Cardinals attendance drops to the historic low there in the first homestand. They drew the smallest in today, the night game with Sonny Gray pitching. I believe it was, Sonny Gray's debut. It was drew the smallest attendance for a night game in the history of Busch Stadium, the third, which is the third version of the stadium.
I wonder what's going on there with the best fans in baseball.
Oh yeah, the smartest fans of baseball, the most knowledgeable fans of baseball. They'll tell you that firsthand. Yeah,
I wonder, but no, honestly, I wonder what's going on there.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing.
Upset with last year's subpar season?
Here's the thing, Chris. The reported attendance number was 31,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can see a picture of the actual attendance.
Yeah, it's 31,000. The lowest for a Cardinals night game in nearly two decades. It's the fourth lowest in stadium history. So a sold-out crowd usually sell 47. So, yeah, they were showing that there's no way that 30,000 fans showed up for that. That is not the Cardinal way. And there it is, Tyler. Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you. That is fantastic.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder, and it was unseasonably cold. Or, I don't know. But, yeah, that seems a little bit odd. Bad omens.
Very bad omens. And my ugly this week, well, there's, I mean, you could go from the A's. You could talk about what I just mentioned with Scott Boris. Yeah, I'm not really thinking it's ugly for Jordan Montgomery. He's probably like, I should have listened to my gut instincts a long time ago and not listened to Scott Boris. But my ugly this week, my ugly this week has been the rash of injuries to the Tigers right now with Kreidler. You have Leonard. You kind of look at options right now. And Buddy Kennedy has been hitting the ball pretty well. So that's a good thing. He's on the 40-man roster. So not to be pessimistic. So let's see what happens with Buddy Kennedy and see if there's – you might see some Buddy Kennedy at some point. But that is a concern. And I should mention – we should have mentioned this. How did we not mention this earlier? Wenciel Perez. I mean, we talked about this on the minor league podcast. But Wenciel Perez getting the call up. And I did hear – that the Tigers are not going to really try to use him in the outfield at all either.
In the outfield? He's just up there. Interesting. I figured he'd get
pinch hit, bench spot. Like they're trying to avoid him using him in the field at all from what I heard.
I figured that he would at least get maybe a start in the doubleheader. But that doesn't shock me. I think he's got potential in the outfield, but he's still learning the position, right? And so the reads and reactions aren't terribly good. He's got makeup speed. He's got a good arm from out there. He's just a really frustrating player because of the defensive issues there, because he's got the athletic ability and the arm strength to play anywhere on the field, but the whatever neurons aren't firing properly to allow him to glove the ball properly and then make an accurate throw. It's a real bummer because it's a nice offensive player. He has a good approach. He takes walks. He's got gap power. He can put it over the fence every now and then. He'll steal you bases. So, but you know, I don't know. When they brought up Kerry Carpenter, they were kind of, worried about his defense too in the outfield, and they were able to get that ironed out relatively quickly to where he's not a huge drain. So I could see them doing that too. George Lombard's a really good coach. And so I think that they'll hopefully, they're working with Perez every day to get better in the outfield.
And why Winseal over Malloy? Because Malloy's not on the 40-man roster. That's why.
Yep.
They would have to make a move to add Malloy to the roster. So,
and it may have been Perez no matter what after the Abanez injury, because Leonard was not off to a particularly strong start. He had like 15 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts, and like 30 at bats or something like that. And it may have been Kreidler had he not hurt his hand. That probably would have made the most sense, as for an infielder right-handed bat. But it is kind of funny. We talk about the strength of the farm system heading into this year. It's one of the best farm systems we could think of. And Parker Meadows has now graduated, so he doesn't count anymore. Colt Keith, it's going to be another couple of weeks, but he'll be out of there. And then now you've got Perez up in the big leagues. I don't know if he's going to be up here enough to lose his eligibility. And Kreidler and Leonard hurt, and suddenly the farm system it's getting slightly thinner. We'll see. And Gibson Long with the forearm tightness, that's never, he was coming back from a hamstring issue, right? And pitched well, four innings, I think, three, four innings in Lakeland. Yeah, looked good.
I look pretty good too.
He looked good, but if there's that tenor, you hope it's just kind of regular soreness from pitching, getting out there and competing. But forearm soreness is never a great sign for pitchers, unfortunately. So we'll hold out hope there. But we had him in our top 10 in the system, so that would, this is why you need to keep restocking prospects no matter what. The Dodgers do it, even though they have draft like 28th every year,
wave after wave after wave.
Yeah,
it's funny. I was looking through my Baseball America edition, and I realized that Andy Bejas is still in their system. I mean, I feel like I'm watching him for like 6 years now. Yeah. I know it's like just for a while, I felt like I was watching for Great Lakes for 3 years practically, but
he's
in the system.
Yeah. And then they've got Vargas is down in AAA for him now. Right. He's been with Lux back. I think that he's mostly in AAA and Betts playing shortstop, but I don't know. It helps to have depth. That's for sure. And the Tigers, the one area that we were kind of concerned about, is shortstop, right? They still haven't, they don't really have any, you hope that McGonagall can play shortstop, but it's a little bit iffy. I think he seems more like a second baseman, right? We'll see. And Peyton Graham is back playing, but he's off to a slow start. And so there's just not really much shortstop depth there in the system.
And then you see Jackson Holliday, who made his major league debut last night. And the guy is a natural shortstop. He's playing second. Man, I'm telling you, I watched him play a little bit in Norfolk last year, and I came away going, all right, I get it. I get why people think he is special. I mean, that OBP of just his numbers in the minors for his age, utterly ridiculous. And, Chris, what scares me about this is that Baltimore can put three or four infielders deep. That's how good Baltimore has been. Here's the thing. That's what's frustrating. Baltimore has had some really good drafts, but they're also are able to get some guys who can play in the infield. It's not DH types that are athletic and can play their positions well. And Tigers, Cole Keefe has been a very good plus defender. Like we've been talking about this. Like he's a lot better than what people give him credit for on the defensive side of the ball. But the rest of the infield, you got to look around and go, you hope that Young can develop into that. But right now it's if we're being realistic right now, Lee at second's not, Lee feels his position well.
How you Lee? Yep.
Yeah, How you Lee, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Max Anderson is hitting a little bit. We don't know, you know, the defense, I don't know. But, yeah, it's the Orioles. That's the sort of thing that you feel like is kind of missing from the Tigers. And I don't know what the Orioles know that the Tigers don't. The Tigers have a bunch of interesting infielders, but not the way that the Orioles do. And Orioles just have interesting hitters everywhere. And I was just thinking about it, and this kind of goes back a little bit to the Max Clark, and we talked about this privately, where, you know, Holiday hit his way out of low A ball in like 2 weeks. It was very clear very quickly that he was too good of a hitter, too advanced for that. And, we, you know, you're kind of hoping for that sort of thing from Max Clark, and it just doesn't appear to be the case. He just – his swing is a little bit of a mess right now. He's not really driving the ball with any authority. He seems to be late on every fastball. You hope that this is a guy that was heavily scouted for a long time and consensus top five pick in the draft. You hope that the scouts saw the raw tools there and Max Clark can make the adjustments. At the same time, sometimes the entire industry does miss because if you go back 2 years, the number one prospect in the draft to both Baseball America and MLB Pipeline was not Jackson Holiday. It was Drew Jones. And Drew Jones has been injured a ton, but he's the exact same age as Jackson Holiday, and he's in low A ball right now, striking out 50% of the time while Jackson Holiday is in the big leagues. So I mean, one is a kind of an extreme case on one side, one's extreme on the other one, but sometimes it does happen. You do miss on draft picks, and you just got to, you know, trust that Garko and the player development staff can get Max Clark going in the right direction soon enough, and I think they will. I don't think it's a Drew Jones situation, but, you know, you want to see results because that's, well, we don't need to rehash it, even though I'm sure we will another 1,000 times. There was another pretty good player on the board there, and they went with Max Clark, and we know why, but you'd like to see him prove why, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's, again, Young's going to probably work out at third. I'm not disputing it. It's just you have to bring out all the variables to it. And as he's learning a new position, he is learning a new position. He's played second all his life until recently. So,
And Young is off to a really nice start. He needs to, it's early, but he needs to cut down the strikeouts a little bit. I think he's got 17 in 11 games, which is a 36% strikeout rate. And I think he's better than that. And he's been driving the ball. So somebody asked earlier, is he going to come up this year? It wouldn't shock me at all if he does. Kind of just depends on how well Urshela keeps playing, right? And if Colt Keith keeps holding his own, because if not, then I don't know if there's going to, I don't think they would just cut Urshela or move him. Maybe if something happens to Baez and they need Urshela at shortstop, but we'll see. We'll see down the road. You know, we've already seen that these injuries can cause changes to plans relatively quickly.
As far as waiting to see, like, for example, I was getting some grief because I said, wait 40 games for this team till you make up your mind about this team. And I wait 40 games for this team to strike out as much as they do. Well, they're, again, overall record. But as far as Max Clark goes, look, I'm going to give the kid as much time as he needs. You know, absolutely. Like, it's just, I don't think there should be a declaration of 3 days from now, he should be. No, it doesn't matter. This is his first season out of high school. And if he's doing, like, if we're going to, I'm trying to think of, like, so if you think about, like, Derek Hill, for example, like, kind of because he was drafted at the center fielder, drafted with some hype out of high school. You know, there was no, like, I know there's a difference between being third pick overall. What was Hill, like 18th or something to that effect?
I want to say 20th.
Yeah. I'm going to give Clark until the, and then if he's still behind in the summertime, he still looks like this. And yeah, you can say what you will, but I'm not going to write the kid off in April. I just don't understand. Like, is,
yeah,
I know people have like seen me when they, the draft night, like, but give, well, yeah,
no, in it's a fine line we're trying to walk here because there are there's a big group of clowns who are gonna complain about Max Clark till the sun dies, right? Just because they want to. And we're not trying to, I'm not trying to denigrate him at all. He's not off to a great start. And the main issue I have is it doesn't look great. Like, the swing does not look good to me. It's not like he's getting unlucky, hitting line drives. It's a lot of weak ground balls and barely poking fastballs to the opposite field. Doesn't mean that he won't turn around very quickly. He's a very talented kid with a lot of tools, and I'm, you know, rooting for that, obviously. Just trying to let people know, like, okay, right now it doesn't look that great. Doesn't mean he can't. I've talked about this before. I did not like Chase Young's swing at all. That first year after they drafted him, you know, we went and saw him in West Michigan. It was like, oh boy, like it didn't seem to be much bat speed. He was hitting weak fly balls the opposite field, and turns out, you know what, pro ball's hard, and he was, you know, dealing with some injury issues, and it was a long season for him, and he figured things out in the last year. So yeah, certainly not saying anything negative about Max Clark's future. Just saying right now, it doesn't look great.
Yeah. And again, prospect development, not linear. So by the way, if everybody was trying to curious of what Marcelo Meyer is doing right now in Double A, so far in 13 plate appearances as of right now, Fangraphs, batting 364, 385, 455. So
140 WRC plus, and again, 13 plate appearances. So,
yep.
But yeah, wouldn't shock me at all if he bounces back and looks really good.
Yeah.
He was a highly touted kid.
Exactly. So, like I said, if you go by every at bat early April for prospects, it's just give time.
Yeah. And we talked about it before, even guys that we, like we talked Torkelson, not doing anything at the big league level. He hit 31 home runs last year. People are hoping and trusting that he's going to find his way. Justice Bigby, off to a really bad start in Toledo. Lots of strikeouts, swinging and missing, and a lot of breaking balls. Was not the kind of hitter he was last year. I don't think things have fundamentally changed. Just not seeing the ball well right now. It happens. So,
yeah.
Not writing anybody off.
I mean, look at Dom Johnson. Dom Johnson, I mean, he had a career day today. Out of nowhere. Yeah. What did you say?
And I think, yeah, 4-for-4 today, triple short of the cycle. It was the second time. We saw Gage Workman do that once where he needed a triple for the cycle and instead just hit a home run.
Yeah.
Dom Johnson did the same thing. I don't know. But then Dom Johnson, I think he came up to West Michigan last year and I want to say batted like .150 for a not insignificant amount of time. So you hope that he's made some changes. He's a guy that's interesting. He's very fast and has some raw power there, but you know, second year guy in low A.
What do you do? Tigers and Twins, if you're looking at what's going to happen this weekend, what the schedule looks like. So there's going to be a doubleheader on Saturday, and the pitching matchups were announced, I believe. Saw them earlier.
Maeda versus Ryan in one of them, and then that second one is assumed to be Matt Manning. I'm not sure who
the Twins are. Manning's supposed to get it's supposed to be Manning that gets the ball. Flaherty's supposed to get the – or I'm sorry, he gets the ball on Sunday. For a Sunday start. So game two would be Manning supposed to get the start for that. So by the way, broadcasting note too, Greg Gagne will be on the broadcast this weekend. So on the radio side of things, Dan Dickerson takes over the TV side. So just a heads up for that. And Chris and I will probably be out there working in a working capacity on Saturday. So we'll be out there. If you're out this weekend, we'll let us know where you're at and we'll stop by and say hello. I'll be there for. Yeah. Are you be there for both games, Chris, or one?
I'm gonna try. I haven't. I put in for the credentials. I don't think I've got the response yet. I put them in for Saturday and Sunday. So.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll be down there on Saturday. Hope to see you out there. And then the regular minor league podcast with Brandon Day will be joining us on Monday, and we'll be recapping week three. Oh, it's very weird to say it's already week three. So.
Yeah. We're less than a month away from the Complex League starting, which you remember they bumped it up this year. It's I think
oh yeah, that's right. Starts,
so get hot and heavy soon.
Yeah,
and then we haven't even really dug into the draft. The Tigers have the 10th pick, right?
11th. Yeah, pick. So that's also say our draft coverage is about to start kicking off here so early. So we have to start. I have to start paying attention a little bit more to the draft. But the next couple weeks are going to be crazy. But thanks so much for everybody listening. Thank you for the couple donations did come in. We really appreciate it. And you know, like, and thanks to that Twitter guy, it really made me realize, like, yes, I stutter and put over my words. It happens. Good to see you do it. I end up looking at him on Twitter, so. I just when people just come in and go, I see you. Like, what are you doing? Like, stop that. You know, if you don't like what I say, whatever, that's fine. Anyway. Serenity now. All right. We'll see you. We'll talk to you Monday. And if you're out down in the ballpark in Comerica, let us know. And you know, just shoot us on Twitter. You can find us. Find me at Rogecast Baseball, Chris Brown 0914. Until next week, or until Monday, the minor league update. I think we might be doing some on Sunday too, but we'll see. We'll see you. Have a good night, everybody.
Your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick Me Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on break room products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.